expert at this. So. Oh.
You're not going to like what I'm going to have to say down here. Okay.
Are we ready? Everybody good to go? Let's call to order. Do we have our recording set and everything? Okay, thank you. Let's call to order this meeting of the Inspector General Selection and Retention Committee. It is July 19th, and it's about 8 minutes after one. My apologies for the delay. And if we can begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And if we can begin with a roll call for the record. Cheryl, would you start, please?
Absolutely. Cheryl Steckler, Inspector General Advisor.
Kelly O'Leary, Director of Employee Services.
Refik Eller, Public Defender's Office.
Mark Hassan, True Commission.
Ioana Allen, the Ethics Commission.
Patricia Dodson, State Attorney's Office.
Lori Boyer, Jacksonville City Council.
Judge Centerfit, Circuit Court.
Carrie Stewart, Mayor's Office.
Steve Rohan, Interim Inspector General.
Great. Thank you all very much for being here. First order of business is approval of the minutes of the May 23rd committee meeting. Did everyone receive a copy of those? I think they were distributed earlier, and there's a copy before us. Are there any corrections or additions?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second for approval. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? And the minutes are approved. And let's move on to item number two, comments from the public. Do we have any comment cards or requests for anyone to speak? Conrad, did you wish to speak in public comment?
Not this one.
Okay, because this is when I have public comment on the agenda, just so you know. Okay. All right. So we are on to item number three, which is discussion of Inspector General applicants and the top candidates list. So, Cheryl, you and Ms. O'Leary are going to present your comments and thoughts about the resumes we have received to date. And did everyone receive a copy of those? Everyone's got them? Good. Okay.
You should have a binder here as well that's got the advertisement and then the eight candidates that were deemed eligible. In my communication to the committee, we broke down really kind of the numbers around how many applicants applied, those that were ineligible versus eligible. So we had a total of 28 apply to the posting. 16 did not meet the minimum requirements. We had 12 that were deemed eligible. Of the 12, three of them were non-responsive in our communication back and forth relative to their interest. One withdrew as he went through the process, said that timing was not appropriate for him at that particular time. And then we had eight that were interested in moving forward. During the communication back and forth with those eight eligible applicants, we did share with them the evaluation criteria to make sure they understood what the evaluation would be, what our expectations were, and they were all in agreement. So these are the eight that we have presented in your binder before you today. I'll let Cheryl speak a little bit more directly in terms of the candidacy as she worked very closely with my department in looking at the viability of the candidates and any type of recommendation.
Thank you, Kelly. Madam Chair and the committee, just a little bit of clarification. When they were deemed eligible, which means they met the minimum, and that's what you have in front of you because there was such a small pool, is you have everyone that met the minimum. So these were not screened at all beyond that. Each of them, when we got the initial grouping, when the three that dropped out, they also got what we thought would be a good choice was to go ahead and give them a copy of the draft or of the final performance evaluation that you all approved, and three of them subsequently dropped out. In a way, that's a good thing because I really don't think you all want to go through this, you know, long dissertation trying to find the right person if they're not willing to stand up to that evaluation. So I think a key indicator and one to repeat if we need to is to ensure that that performance evaluation go to the applicants. It will better help them understand what this job really means. With those that were eligible that stayed in the pool, again, there are the minimum. They vary in different backgrounds, but clearly we know you need someone with good leadership. We know we needed someone that knows how to deal with the dynamics of the city of Jacksonville. In addition, obviously, you always look for someone that has a background discipline in this area. I don't want to call them shining stars. They're all great applicants, but whether they meet what you're looking for is in question. You definitely need to talk about that. Most specifically, though, your pool was small. Last time we had over 85 applicants, and so many of them were qualified to the level where it was hard to screen them down to five or seven. I don't think that was the case this time. So just for consideration, you may want to think about a larger pool if you decide to not go forward today. And you can always continue with these applicants and put them automatically in the pool if we decide to go again. Whether it was timing, we don't really know why we didn't get a large pool, but 26 applicants is not considered a very large pool. On average, sometimes we see in the IG community, at least in Florida, I've seen 80 to 100 applicants typically. So, and we had that last time, we had 85. So just food for thought as you consider what you want to do here.
Okay, do you have any specific recommendations with the 8 that are in here in terms of whether you would say that you said you provided this everyone basically that met minimum qualifications? Did you do any ranking? Did you do any evaluation where you would say, I would not interview these two, I would interview these three, anything like that?
I can clearly tell you from my professional opinion who would be worthy of an interview. And again, that pool is very small, comparatively speaking. I mean, some look very interesting on paper that you could bring in. There is one gentleman that actually has an inspector general background, at least from the military side, but we've interviewed him before and scored very low in the committee last time. Whether you want to entertain that. There is one individual that has inspector general experience from years ago. Might be worthy of an interview. You clearly have someone from the FBI at a senior level. So there's a handful that I would say look good on paper. But compared to what I saw last time, there's a big difference in the pool.
So before I move on to item 3, I really want to hear if anybody has any further questions for Cheryl in that regard.
Other than the gentleman that was interviewed the first time around, and I think I know who that is, were any of the other 8 candidates, did they apply before?
No, they did not.
So if there are no further questions for Cheryl, before we actually go into a discussion of the 8, let's go down to number 4, because I kind of heard Cheryl saying that we didn't receive as many applications as we might have anticipated. And I can tell you, just if anyone, in case you're interested, I had a notice meeting yesterday with Council Vice President Cressenbeny, who will become my designee on this committee after this meeting. And I met with he and Councilwoman Brochet were in that meeting. And the discussion there generally was a perception that the pool was not sufficient and that we should re-advertise and perhaps re-advertise starting in, mid-August with the idea that it would stay open till maybe the early September so that you kind of got over the summer vacation and people were back in their kind of office normal cycle. And then that would still allow us time to interview in September and be in a position where, or at least meet and move forward so that by next budget year we weren't really handicapped particularly. So I don't know what anybody else's thoughts are, but I just want to throw that out. Was something that came up in a discussion among council members yesterday. So I'd really like to hear what everyone else's thoughts are, is whether you want to go forward and bring these candidates here to interview, or whether we should pull back and advertise again and advise all of these folks to hang in there with us, or whether we want to eliminate a few of them and then, communicate to a few others that we want them to stay in the pool. I'm open for thoughts.
Madam Chair, yes, ma'am. Before I proceed, I just want to thank Kelly for affording information I requested on yesterday. I was interested in finding out the period that the posting ran. What I didn't ask, though, the period that it ran this time from June 15th through July 3rd, was the period the same amount of time the first time?
It was very close, within a few days. So the period last time was 21. I believe the total days ran this period was either 18 or 19, if I did the calculations.
Okay. And the information you shared with regard to it being posted on the city site and fed through Indeed and Simply Hired, those mechanisms were all the same the first go-round as well?
That is true, with the exception of, I think that we also had an additional posting the last time. Was it the local level or the national? The National Association. We did not have that this time. They didn't get it posted up quick enough.
Okay, thank you. And then before we enter into the discussion, Mr. Rohan, I have a question for you. I too saw the information with regard to the notice meeting on yesterday. The question that I have is, if in fact we were to look at possibly tabling the selection until later, would you be willing to stay in the interim role? And if so, for how long is the first part of my question. And and then the second part of it is with regard to some of the challenges that I think the previous candidate faced in the role, from my perspective, it appears that there was a lack of accountability in terms of that role and not necessarily reporting to anyone directly on a daily basis and so forth. And so the second part of my question is, if in moving forward, would you be willing to assist with perhaps the onboarding and the training of the new candidate if and when they were selected? Those are the, I guess that's actually three questions. Sorry. Okay.
The first question, will I stay on? And the answer is yes. I'd be happy to stay on and perform service to the city and continue with the challenges of the office for the time being. The third question, if after the selection of the Inspector General, would I be willing to assist thereafter? The answer is yes. And the second question was related to accountability.
Well, you actually kind of address that with answering the third question.
Okay.
In terms of, and I know that maybe the structure of the position, we may need to look at that, I think, in terms of the accountability piece, but you actually addressed it. So,
well, every leadership role in the city comes with accountability. You've got to justify your existence every day and justify your performance. And I can't imagine any directorship or executive directorship doesn't come with accountability. It's a question to who, but there's many sponsors and many stakeholders that you're accountable to.
Thank you. So with regard to that, if I may, as far as the discussion is concerned, I too had an opportunity to look at all of the candidates, and I just wasn't that impressed. I know that probably sounds a little bit forward, but in comparison to the first time, I think there's a stark difference with regard to the results. And so my personal belief is I would rather take it a much more slow and steady as opposed to rushing and possibly entering into a decision that could place us in the same position in another 12 months or possibly less than 12 months, which I think would be a disservice to the citizens. I think it would be a disservice to our committee members with regard to time and availability. And so that is my belief.
Any other thoughts or comments from members?
No, I have a question. For the record, it's Refik Geller from the Public Defender's Office, and really maybe it's to Ms. Steckler. So is there a preclusion from interviewing and opening up so we don't delay and don't I guess that's the question.
I would recommend you not do that because many of these people are out of town. You know, many times that happens, so you're going to start bringing people in, and I will tell you, at the federal level, many of the inspector generals have to let the president or Congress know that they're applying for positions because obviously Florida is a sunshine state. Some have to resign before they can apply, and so you have to be careful on how you treat this position and it's just better if you just, we can certainly tell, you know, if you want to go through those that you're interested in, but you may get an incredible list next time and not have any interest in any of these applicants because you, from the discussions, we only wanted to interview maybe five for one full day interview. That's not a lot of people. And if you get a really good pool next time,
there may be five more qualified, so to speak, that you might want to look at the next time. So I would actually recommend not to do it that way.
So there's no preclusion, but you're just recommending we don't do it that way. Okay, and the other, because I think there's, you know, these eight folks who have made the, I guess, the first cut, they went through a lot to get it in that time frame, and I don't think they should really be punished or penalized for getting it all done. But if you're saying we can also include that in the ultimate interview process, then I think that answers my question.
Any other discussion on this? Cheryl?
One comment, Madam Chair. Just, and I know you're new to the committee, hopefully, if we've not shared it with you, we will. This committee went through great strengths to put a performance evaluation together that is very, very strict. It will hold this Inspector General very accountable. In fact, I don't think anything exists in the city like it. So this Inspector General will be held accountable to the citizens as well as this committee and others. And that template that they have created is pretty strong template of deliverables.
And to that point, I mean, I think my motivation, at least, and I think it was shared by the committee, was that unlike, in order to retain the independence of the office, the Inspector General is not accountable to the mayor's office, it's not accountable to the city council, it's not accountable to one entity or one person, it's accountable to this group. And because we only meet periodically and because we don't really have the kind of constant dialogue and review of what's going on in the office, that's why we ended up with that performance template. So we can hand them an expectation list, and we can, when we hear, whether we want to have it quarterly or we want to have it semi-annually, when we hear their presentations, we can be asking questions to judge against what we've set out as their expectations. But at this point, it's set up that this body provides the accountability. And that's a significant task for us. So, you know, we want to try to have the tools that allow us to do that and give them as much fair warning as possible, because you don't want to evaluate someone on something you haven't told them about. So that was really our kind of goal in creating that. So I'm hearing the suggestion that we reopen the advertisement. Do I have a motion to that effect, and that we not interview right now, or what's the pleasure?
Madam Chair, I'd make a motion to stay the review of these applicants and interviews to extend and reopen the application period. And in that motion, I would add, if we could post it on the national level and site, maybe that would bring more applicants.
Is there a second to that motion? Okay. I have a motion, a second. Any discussion on that? Judge Centerfit. Absolutely.
I would just add, I mean, I do think we should contact these people and let them know that we're going to include them still and keep them in the pool, but that we wanted to open it up for a longer period of time. So if we can add that.
Can we treat that not as part of the original motion, but treat it as an amendment, because I want to discuss it separately?
Okay.
Second
the amendment.
Okay. And is there any other discussion, anybody else that wanted to comment on that motion? Yeah.
I just, and maybe it can be tabled for the latter part as well, but perhaps in the posting, maybe we look at some other avenues that we didn't before, like with the League of Cities and some of the other very similar kinds of bodies that may help us to broaden that pool as well.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Do you wish to include a posting date or a time limit?
And you know, I'm certainly open to a suggestion. As I said in our meeting yesterday, it was suggested that we delay a week or two and not do this July, but wait until early mid-August and then keep it open till after Labor Day, so that we're picking up people who are returning from vacation periods.
And when we can get in the cycle to be posted in the appropriate
in the national, yeah.
Okay. 3 week minimum would be good. If we can get at least 21 days, that would be helpful.
And wait, I think what I was hearing from Ms. Stewart was, in terms of the timing, if Florida Association of Counties or whomever it is does it, or the National League of Cities does it once a month,
but their once a month doesn't start yet, make sure we catch their cycle in that advertisement. So while we have before us, though, Judge Centerfit's suggestion that we contact all of the existing individuals and advise them that we're going to hold them in a pool. Is there any other discussion on that? Because I have a comment on that if no one else does first. So in our meeting yesterday, it was discussed that there were three of the candidates that we would not bring back, that it was recommended that we not bring back to interview anyway. I would think it would be a disservice to them to advise them that we were holding their resume to consider them later if, even at this point with this small a pool, there was not a thought to pursue it. But I don't know if anybody else has the same feeling about the resumes they saw. So the three that we discussed yesterday to not bring back were Torres, Hawkins, and Hunter. And I'm just opening that up for discussion. If anyone has a similar thought, then I would suggest that we not tell them we're going to bring them back.
I'm in agreement with those three.
Anyone else?
Madam Chair, I had Hawkins and Torres also on the bottom.
So would you like to amend your motion that we perhaps advise all the candidates other than those three that we're holding them in the pool, and maybe we advise those three that, thank you, but.
Yes, I would amend that motion that we just invite back Gardner, Miller,
Keating, Drew, and Donovan.
Drew and Donovan.
Okay.
What did you say?
So yes. She has Keating, Gardner, Miller, Drew, and Donovan as the ones to
ask back. Why Miller was not selected the first time if he was interviewed by this body?
He was interviewed by this body. When we went through the point structure of the five, he ranked second to the bottom. He was number four. Just a matter of how he answered the questions and the desires of the committee.
And I don't know if anyone that's serving now was on that committee at the time and has the benefit of those interviews to know. I was not. Mark, were you?
I was not.
Oh, you were. Okay.
I would just say again, as Ms. Steckler has said, that the pool was, it was a better pool than what we got here. And with the other candidates, that's just where he fell.
But would your thought be at this point to bring him back and in case if we don't get more, or depending
I would,
on what we get?
Yes. It can't hurt us to.
Okay. I mean, you're the only one who met him, so I think that's on paper. I will also say just, I might ask Ms. O'Leary next time. In our meeting yesterday, Councilman Crescenbeny pointed out the bumps in consideration that the city gives for people who are veterans, who are residents, and other criteria, and he mentioned those. If you can advise us of those when you deliver the resumes next time, so we at least are aware what those additional considerations are that we normally take into account.
If the committee prefers, we can develop a matrix and just have that at the beginning of the binder of the candidates to give you those indicators of how those candidates rank.
That would probably be helpful. I mean, it's not, we don't have to follow that, and we certainly could pick someone else, but at least we know what those things are that we've established as factors that we want to consider.
Certainly will.
Okay, so we are on Judge Centerfit's amendment that we would advise Keating, Gardner, Miller, Drew, and Donovan that we would like them to stay in the pool, and advise the other three that, we appreciate their submission, but we are not pursuing it further. Is there any further discussion on that motion? All in favor, please indicate by saying yes.
Yes.
Opposed?
Opposed simply for the delay of the process of opening the pool.
Okay. And then we are now then on the motion, which is that we re-advertise and reopen the pool. This is Ms. Dodson's motion. And is there any further discussion on that motion?
Just back to the timing, we've got for a separate discussion.
What do you want? I mean, we can address it more. I think what I've heard is an advertisement that's open for at least 21 days that isn't posted until maybe mid-August or the 10th of August, depending on the cycles of when things are available, but that stays open past Labor Day. And then, so we would be reviewing resumes in early, you know, the 10th to the 15th of September, I would guess, at that point.
Yeah, I mean, my only concern, and it was addressed by others, was, you know, was the advertising the same as previously? And from here, that could go out to the National Association to kind of explain that and why there weren't more candidates that had Inspector General experience. So, you know, my only question would be, aside from their actual advertisements, is there any benefit or do they have any annual events or conferences or anything coming up like that would tie into the advertising?
It just so happens. through the chair, I'm actually flying to Chicago because I teach at the Institute, and that is actually next week. And I'm the executive director, and everybody will be there, so I'll actually hand-deliver. If you want to provide me a copy real quick, I'll hand-deliver that to them and also email it. The national conference is in October. As well, but you know, we'll make sure we get up there. You know, you don't ever know why, but sometimes it's summertime. You know, the timing of this ad, the ones that I've seen done are usually right after the first of the year, or when we did the last one, which is around that May time period, because you've got ends of fiscal years instead of beginning of fiscal years, and inspector generals make commitments to their teams. Usually in the beginning of their fiscal year. So there's all kinds of reasons on why the pool was small, but it was a summertime, which could have been a major indicator as well. But clearly we will get it, and I'm going to be with them next week, so we'll get it in the national one as well. But just in general, the pool was pretty small, regardless of the national.
Yeah, so my only thought to that, and I don't want to delay it anymore than we have to, but typically when there is a convention like that, the readership goes up. So I wouldn't be opposed to waiting issue goes out to tie into that convention.
Another option is we could run the ad and leave it open running until we think we've got enough good candidates for you all, and then and join a meeting and say, you know, here's the applicant pool and here's how many are the minimums, and give it an extra 30 days or something if you want. You know, just set a little bit longer time frame if, in fact, we're not getting a good pool in August. I think it is, but let me look it up.
The only, and I mentioned this in our meeting yesterday, the only concern I have about the longer we extend it is I certainly do not want to leave the impression that the office is without direction or that it is not a priority. Or so, you know, while I might be receptive to the idea of advertising it sooner, but if by September 1st, we are disappointed in the pool that we have before you close the advertisement, we call another meeting and we have an opportunity to discuss whether we want to extend it or whether we want to close it. I mean, and the committee can make that decision, but I don't want to delay for the October convention now. I mean, we might have 100 good applicants by then, and then we don't need to wait. So if we could kind of reserve judgment on that, I think that might be a good solution. Any other thoughts? Any other questions about the motion that's on the table that we need refinement of, that you want to make sure you understand what we're voting on?
Are we going to pick a date?
As to when we're going to start?
Open it, yeah.
Go ahead.
Start. I mean, should we say?
August 10th is a Wednesday, I think.
Should we go a little bit later than that? Closer
to wouldn't go too late. Because if people advertise on the 10th to the 15th, we haven't gotten our email in. I would actually go that Monday if possible. By the way, the conference is late this year. It's November 16th, so you're not going to want to wait. You still got 2 weeks, right, before you hit August 9th or 7th? Fifth would be Labor Day week.
So it would be open for 4 days past Labor Day?
That would be 4 weeks.
That would be the 9th. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, run it those days, unless we, again, you know, Ms. Deckler could notify us if earlier on there by that, no later than that third week, early that third week, if we're not getting good applicants, then maybe we consider a short meeting to extend it if we need to.
So the suggestion is that we open it the week of August 8th, and that the intention is to have it open through Labor Day week, through the Friday following Labor Day. However, if in late August we are seeing that we do not have a substantial number of resumes, Ms. Steckler would contact the committee chair at that point and discuss the option of reconvening a committee to extend the deadline. Is that agreeable with everybody? Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
No, go ahead.
Ms. Steckler, yes, ma'am.
You mentioned that is in October. Which one is it again? The October convention?
It's actually November. They've moved it to a later. It's like mid-November now, so it's kind of late.
Okay. And what's the title?
It's the Association of Inspector General's annual conference.
Okay. Is there like a regular publication that members receive?
That's where it will go. It will go in the association's website. I'm going to be meeting with them next week.
Okay.
So I will make sure it gets in there.
Okay. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I was just going to make the record clear that although I did not participate in the prior interviews, I was involved in the process and actually saw all of the applicants' resumes and after they were vetted and narrowed down and kind of numbered in a matrix. So I wholeheartedly agree with this decision, just mm-hmm. so it's very clear that I agree with Ms. Steckler's assessment and everybody else's here that this is a very shallow pool of applicants and it's very important.
Okay. So, any further discussion or clarification? All in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying yes.
Yes.
Opposed? Okay. And is there anything? Okay, so now we have disposed of item number 3 and 4. 5 and 6 are essentially on hold. Do we need to do anything, Cheryl, in regard to preparation for the interviews at this point? I mean, I don't think there's any reason to do that.
There's no preparation at all. The only thing I ask is if, and I know you all don't probably have your calendars here, but if we can think about whether I'm actually on travel and I can get back a little sooner than expected in September, but what days are good days for you all? Because coordinating your 7 calendars is not the easiest thing in the world. Do Wednesdays work better with the committees, and what days work best?
So from a city council standpoint, Thursdays and Fridays work better than Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. If you are on a council week, which is the second and fourth week, then Wednesdays are fine. But, I mean, that requires you to look at the calendar,
which we do. And how about you, everybody else? Is there specific days that work better than other trial calendars and everything else?
Difficult for me. I'm on a 2-week trial calendar starting September 12th, so either Ms. Corey can designate somebody else or she could potentially be present.
But if everyone would just pencil this in, what we might attempt to do is September 22nd and September 23rd is a Thursday, Friday. Pencil those. I'll get back in touch with you all and see if those dates might work to at least preliminary set when we would bring the applications back to you so we can at least all moving a little bit for you all. And not that you'll need me, but I'm gone most of October, so I'm trying to help as much as I can with this interview process. At least if we can get the applicants in front of you. And
would you rather do it earlier? I mean, if we are successful and we close it the 5th or 6th of September, you could do it a week or two earlier and potentially be scheduling interviews.
If we, and it will be a crunch on me, but I can work with Kelly and them. If we can do it the 8th or 9th, I'm actually leaving out of town on the 10th. So if we can bump it up to the 8th or the 9th, I will do my best to try to get that list ready to go and the score sheets and everything. That would help because then we could interview at the end of September and be done. If that's okay with the committee, that I can, I'll maneuver my schedule for that.
Why don't you shoot for that? Because
okay.
if you find that in the month of August you have a lot of resumes and
right.
you've done well ranking those and evaluating those, and you get a few more later and you can plug those in, that might move this process along, and I think everybody would be happy to see that.
Can we just, because if we're going to meet the 8th or 9th, can we stop the ad like on Labor Day, the 5th, the close of business, or 6th?
Because personally, I'd like to see it that week, because I know, I mean, in Florida, schools
yeah.
start mid-August, but in the Northeast and a lot of places, people don't come back from summer vacation until after Labor Day weekend. And so the fact is that, you know, that weekend, I think, is important for an opportunity for, and the following week is an important time that might catch a different group.
Well, the 8th and 9th is that week.
Right,
right
is that
right.
week. That's the problem.
Yeah.
If we meet
4 days after Labor Day,
we're past the meeting.
And the 8th and 9th is Thursday, Friday. So you could at least run it through the Tuesday, which
the
catches through
yes.
that weekend.
Yeah, if we could.
If they submitted
it
the day after.
That gives us at least 2 days to.
They'll use their holiday weekend to finalize their.
Yeah, well.
You may have handwritten score sheets. Last minute add ons.
And we can always move it. If you got 50 applications over the weekend and they were great and you can't get them scored, you can always postpone it. I mean, I think that's an option, but. At least this gives us the flexibility to thinking about whether we could get through this in September.
Okay.
While you're still
we'll run it through the 6th. If we don't think there's that many coming in, we'll let you all know, and we'll go extended from there. Does that sound good?
Sounds great. Let the record reflect that Councilman Crescimbeni has joined us. Thank you for skipping out of rules for a moment. Oh, good, good. And just to advise you, we have already voted that we are reopening the advertisement. And are now talking about when we would expect that advertisement to close and information to come back. So we've just kind of gone through that. So the next thing on our agenda is the update on ongoing projects from Mr. Rohan to kind of tell us what's been happening in the Inspector General's office in the last month.
Month and a half.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot to observe once I got there, and various things that we're working on and I'm working on. First of all, in communications, the area of communications, want to have more circumspection in the distribution of our reports and investigative results, how they're distributed, who they're distributed to, whether they're appropriate people to be distributed to, or should they, some of them just remain public records available for people who have curiosity. When I read the Green Book on Inspector Generals, it said eliminate jargon. And apparently in the Inspector General world, there's an awful lot of jargon. And so I'm trying to eliminate all of that. It reminds me of when I first started my civil practice of law, and I drafted a complaint that says, comes now the plaintiff by and through his undersigned attorney. I gave it to Judge Nachman, who was my first boss, and he ripped the whole thing up and says, plaintiff sues defendant and alleges. And so we want to get rid of some of the things that the common folks don't understand. Everybody should be able to understand what we have to say. And more informative communication with our complainants, make sure that they are kept up to date. Professionalism, we need to purchase some furniture. We're finding out how procurement works and how difficult that can be from time to time. Office build out so that we meet standards for accreditation and have offices for our investigators. And office appearance, we've been there for quite a few months and needs a lot of work, and we're going to get that done. Our systems, we need to build or procure a time management system. Obviously, if we're going to be dealing with the independent agencies, we need to have a better understanding of how much time we're spending with the city agencies, how much time we're spending with the independent agencies. And regarding the independent agencies' work, we are working hand-in-hand with the independent agencies and the city administration and the council to develop protocols for the manner in which we address the independent agencies and do our investigations and audits, and also equitable shared funding, so getting a share of the funding from the independent agencies. We think they're rallying into that area, recognizing that public accountability and oversight is important. with our investigations, we're dealing with we only have three investigators, so we're dealing with an inherited backlog of complaints, and we're focusing on triage and the long-range planning of these to get them out and get them completed. Employee misconduct cases, which we have a number of, I think that we should address pension forfeiture in every case, whether it's an appropriate recommendation or not. So that will be on a checklist so that the employees know if they mess up, they're not guaranteed a pension when they resign to avoid prosecution. We're making good progress in our cooperative relationships with the state and federal authorities. Since October 1st, 2015, we've had 55 incoming complaints, of which 23 of them have been resolved and 22 are still outstanding. So our folks are busy. I think they're very competent. And we've got, knowing that I'm going to be on for a couple more months, we're going to try and get a lot done in that period of time. We have some qualified people who may apply for the Inspector General's role. And hopefully by the time we're done and I'm done, that you'll look very kindly on those people too.
Anyone have any questions for Mr. Rohan? Ms. Dodson?
Yes, Madam Chair. Mr. Rohan, what is the status of discussions or negotiations with the some of the independent authorities to establish or agree on the processes or enter into some memorandum of understanding?
We've had very favorable, substantive, credible discussions with JEA. And very shortly, we'll be meeting with all of the independent agencies. And I think we'll probably have an understanding of that shared funding. We already have tentatively agreed to various protocols with the JEA and us so that they're happy with the nature of what we're doing. And we're happy with the integrity of our investigations and our independence. The JEA has been superlative. Mr. McElroy has been very helpful, and we look forward to completing that probably within the next week or two, certainly before the end of budget. We want it done by the end of budget.
Any other questions for Mr. Rohan? I can tell you he's not saying it, and I'm not going to say anything too explicitly, but that my understanding is there is some request for enhancement of the Inspector General's office budget that they are hoping to cover with funding that is provided by the independent authorities. So to the extent they would provide additional funding, that would allow enhancement of personnel in the office, and in turn they would be doing record keeping where they were identifying how much of their time was spent on independent agencies versus on the core city government, so that we may not be able to charge somebody back this year, but in evaluating next year's budget, we'll at least know that, you know, how much time was spent where to look at future contributions.
Thank you.
Is that kind of accurate?
You're absolutely accurate. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that to everybody's attention.
Any other questions of Mr. Rohan? Okay. Anything else, any other topic that anyone wants to bring before the committee today? All right, so we have one last order of business. As council president, I am going to be designating our council vice president as my representative to attend this committee. Since you previously selected me to be your chair, I will no longer be your chair, which means Judge Centerfit is now in charge. As a group, you can at this point vote that you, want to select someone else as vice chair, you want to select someone else as chair, however you want to do that. But I will at this point say that I'm officially stepping down and designating Councilman Crescenbeny as my replacement, but I don't think that automatically makes him chair of the committee. So there is a vacancy in that position.
I thought that man was chair.
Well, you can try to draft him
into the role.
If you all want to make a motion in that regard, and he, that's up to you. I just don't feel like it's an automatic assumption when I
I would nominate if she would accept Judge Centerfit to be the chair.
That's the way I got it.
I would accept that. Maybe I will move to nominate Councilman Cressenbenny as the vice chair. Then do I have a second?
Second.
And for the vice, so for the chairperson and for the vice chairperson. All right, all in favor by saying aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Are we ready to adjourn?
We are.
Okay. Then the meeting is adjourned.
Got here a few minutes later.
Yeah. Got here just in time.
You maybe should have.